Welcome to the Core 5 podcast. We're going to talk about the Yankees. We're going to talk about who's going to make the bench, who's going to make the rotation, and who's going to win the bullpen spots. Also, we're going to talk about the rule changes that MLB made for the minors and what other rule changes that they should do. And of course, I'm going to talk about banning the shift. Banning the shift is a must, and I'm going to explain why. First thing I want to get to is the Yankees bench. The Yankees have four spots on the bench open. We know that two of them are going to be going to Higgy and Gardner. The question is, who is going to win the last two? We have Talkman, we have Wade, we have Estrada, we have Bruce, and we have Dietrich all trying for two spots. Those are the last two. We're hearing reports that Wade isn't going to win the spot. We don't know. It looks like Bruce has the edge. But my opinion, obviously, Talkman has no options, so I think that Talkman either has to make the team or get traded. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Either he's got to make the team or get traded. He's too valuable to just send somewhere else. My opinion, I want it to be Wade because he has speed and he could play shortstop. I don't buy into the hype of Urshela playing shortstop, and I want it to be Dietrich because He plays multiple positions. Jay Bruce, I don't like his ceiling. He hasn't been a good hitter for a while. People think that you're getting the all-star from Cincinnati. You're not getting the all-star from Cincinnati. We had that with Todd Frazier. We didn't get the all-star from Cincinnati, and he's not going to be there. Onto the rotation, we have Herman and we have Garcia. Those are the last two that are filling in for the last five spots. So I've said it in the past. I think that Garcia should get it. Garcia has been a model citizen. He's tried very hard. He's worked his way through the minors. Really could have made the team in 2019, could have made the team in 2020. All he's done is try harder. He pitched well down the stretch. He's pitching well in spring as well. Then you have Herman, who's pitching outstanding, and he thinks that he straightened out his life a little bit. He got married or whatever it is. I still think the Yankees should punish him a little bit. Send down to the minors and work his way back to the team. Really, it all doesn't matter because the Yankees are going to have, they have Taillon and they have Montgomery and they have Kluber. Those guys are not going to be pitching all those amount of innings. So it really doesn't matter either which way. Both of them are going to be in their rotation at a certain point. Both of them will pitch over 20 starts this year. You could take that to the bank. Bullpen started in the offseason as a nice little strength for Brian Cashman. However, since the offseason started, he's gotten rid of Ottavino. He did not sign Canley. And then Wilson and Britton just went down to injury. The Yankees are down to one Chapman, two Green, three O'Day, four Sessa. That's it. That's the four spots in the bullpen. Now you need four more spots. Who's going to win those four spots? So looks like at this point, Johnny Loaisiga seems to be pretty much a lock at this point because who else is going to make it ahead of him? There's four people. There's even though he has an option, there's nothing for that. There's no one who's going to beat him out for that. I think Nick Nelson, he's got nasty stuff. Nick Nelson blocked me on my last Twitter, but we'll forgive him. And I think he's going to make the team. He could be the long reliever. He could be the Chad Green from a couple of years ago. So that's two. Lucas Litke looks like he has the inside track to be the lefty. But now that Wilson's down and Britton's down, there's no lefties, there's a possibility that he won't be the only one fighting for it. There's a possibility that he can lose out the job to Tyler Lyons or even Trevor Lane. Both of those guys are lefties, and both of those guys can possibly win the job. Then you have King, and you have King, and you have Garcia and Abreu. I don't think Abreu is no good, in my opinion. So King will make it, I think. I hope. If it's up to me, I would say I would love if it was King, if it was Nelson, Loaisiga, and Litke. That's the ones that I would go with. Rule changes. Baseball started adding in rule changes all across the minors. All across the minors, they added rule changes. Different kinds of rule changes. They each have their pros and their cons, what they're trying to do. The first one is larger bases. They extended the bases 3 inches. the real reason is just for safety. I don't see this as an issue in any which way. I see this only as a positive. Only as a positive. I don't think that 3 extra inches is really going to change the game very much. But when you're talking about the size and people and the bang bang plays around the bag, I think that that is going to make a big deal. But in terms of somebody being safe because the base is 3 inches longer, I highly doubt it. And if anything, they're not going to bring the 3 inches closer. It's still going to be 90 feet away. Then they have in double A, which I'm going to talk about, which is they have the shift. They're starting off that everybody has to be in the infield, and they're going to finish that off by eventually later on down the line, they're going to put 2 on each side of the bag. That's okay. Then in single A, they have that the pitcher has to move his foot off the rubber before he throws over for a pickoff throw. So the pros and the cons on this one are, I would say the pros are, is that that makes less balks. It lets the runners see what's happening. You don't have the Andy Pettit pickoff move where he's looking at home plate and then he wheels off to first base. You don't have that anymore. I think the cons, or really the pros, you can say both in the same, is that there's going to be a lot more stolen bases. Runners are going to be able to dart towards second as soon as the pitcher starts to come home. And I'm not 100% sure I'm crazy about this one, because I think that it's just going to create a lot more stolen bases, and they're just going to be able to go. If it eliminates the balk, then I'm happy about that. I'm not a crazy fan of the whole balk, and that's one rule in baseball that I really have never fully deciphered. I don't really understand the balk move, to be honest with you. The last one in single A was actually something that I thought about many, many years ago, but the con, I think, is way too high. I think it's just way too crazy to be doing such a thing, and that is in low A ball, they are doing 2 pickoff moves max. After the second pickoff move, you can do a third pickoff move. But if you don't get the guy out, then he's awarded the next base. I think everybody's awarded the next base. Counts as a balk. The obvious one to this one is basically that the pitchers are only going to be throwing over if they believe that they have a big chance, which I'm not 100% sure I'm crazy about, because after the third one, they're just going to run like crazy. But it might not necessarily be the worst thing. Now I'm going to talk about why I think the shift should be banned from baseball. Now here's the deal. Baseball has gone through many phases in its hundreds of years. It's gone through many phases. It's gone through the dead ball era. It's gone through the pitcher era. It's gone through 16 teams. It's gone through pre-segregation. Baseball has gone through many different things. And when people say ban the shift, they think that this is just an answer to help out for the Brian McCanns of the world, or the people who only know how to pull the ball and they're hoping just to raise the batting averages. No, the reason why banning the shift is an issue is because, and I'm going to say this from the beginning, I'll say it again, it's the defensive alignment. The analytics are so far ahead that when the batter puts the ball in play, the defense knows exactly where to be at that time. That is the issue. That is the issue. The issue is that the analytics say exactly where the ball is going to go. And therefore, you're having less batters in play, less balls in play, because when the batter's hitting the ball, the defense knows exactly where it is and they get him out. Now you may ask, okay, how is this changing the game? What's the story with the game? Well, the way this is changing the game is the players have adjusted. The players have adjusted to this game, adjusted to this way. It's called the launch angle, whereas they put the ball in the air and not on the ground, and they cannot make out based on the defensive alignments. That's how they've adjusted to it. And I'm going to go into numbers in a couple seconds, but since this is how they adjusted to it, now you might ask me, if you're a baseball purist, you might ask me, well, why are we changing the game of the defensive alignments? And I'll answer that baseball has made changes throughout the years. In 1920s, they made the ball live. In the late 1960s, they lowered the mound. Baseball has always moved stuff around to try to give advantages to the hitters or to the batters or to the pitchers wherever it was needed. So baseball has always moved things around in little minor ways just to get the stats back to where they were. Over here, baseball really is only looking to solve one issue. And here's the issue, and this is, again, why baseball is doing this. I don't really care about the shift. I don't really care about batting averages and the high batting average or whatever, or balls in play or strikeouts. I don't care about that. Here's where the issue is. Rob Manfred has correctly looked at the numbers of who's watching the game and who's not watching the game. And he's seen that the kids are not watching the game because the game is too boring. Now, before you kill me, baseball isn't too boring. It's that there's no action in the game. What the launch angle has done, and again, I will bring numbers to prove this. What the launch angle has done is that it's made home runs cheap by putting way too many home runs, which is, again, you could say it's okay, but here's where it's not okay. There's way too many batters just swinging and missing and striking out a ton or just looking at pitches to hit. Batters are not trying to just make cheap contact and trying to get on because the fielders know exactly, like I said, I'm going to go back to this many times in a round. The defensive alignments are 17 steps ahead of where the hitters are hitting. So there's no point of putting bad contact. So Rob Manfred has seen a way, and this is just a way. You want to make the game great. If you're a fan of the sport, you want to make the sport great. You don't want to turn it into an art. This is a sport where you want everybody to play and you want everybody to watch and not be bored by it. You want more action. You want more fans. And what, again, I hope I'm not talking in circles, but baseball, they have adjusted. The batters have adjusted. They've adjusted in the last 4 years. It's called launch angle. They've beaten the shift. The shift isn't the issue, and then they can't beat the shift. They've beaten the shift. They hit home runs. They win. They're winning the shift. The problem isn't the shift. The problem is back to what are they doing to the game? How are they ruining the game? How are they making the game longer? What's the product that's on the field? And I'm going to get into numbers, but the product that's on the field is not the product that you grew up with as a kid. Unless you've been watching baseball for about 3 to 5 years, this is not the product that you grew up with. The product that you grew up with, there were players on the base pass, there were players making stolen bases, people were moving, people were doing stuff like that. This is a different product. This product is the batter gets up there, he swings three times from his toes. If the ball goes out, good. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And the games are longer. And Rob Manfred is trying to make the game shorter, but this is how he's going to make the game shorter. And this is how he's going to make the game more interesting. Here's what he's going to do. What he's going to do is he is going to ruin again, I'm not going to say shift. He is going to minimize the defensive alignments that you're allowed to make. And by doing that, the game is going to readjust and batters are going to start putting ball in play more often and not just looking to swing from their toes. But obviously, there's still going to be home runs and there's still going to be a lot of home runs. But what ruining the defensive alignment will just put more balls in play because batters will be able to hit the ball hard and the ball will go through the infield as opposed to hitting the ball hard and the ball does not go through the infield. And batters are not going to need to put the ball straight up in the air. They're going to be able to put the ball on the ground and move it all over the place. And what this is going to do, this is going to bring back baseball, that there's more balls in play, and it's going to bring back baseball that's more fun, where there's more action, where batters are swinging at balls instead of just looking for walks and stuff like that. The three outcomes, they're not going to do that. Let me get to the numbers, why it's no good. 2019, there were only 8 hits per 9 innings. The average hits per 9 innings is about 9. So that's even one less or two less hits if you talk about each team, hits per 9 innings. And this was the second lowest in the history from 1986, which would be the year of the pitcher. So there's not a lot of hits happening in the game. And the hits have been dropping slowly from 2008, the hits have been dropping slowly from when the shift, or I'm going to call it the defensive alignments, increased. Runs per 9, by the way, and this is why I'm going to try to tell you this, and it's important to note, the batters have caught up to the shift. The shift is not an issue anymore. The batters have caught up to the shift. Runs per nine inning is 4.65 to be exact, which is really middle of the pack, which is basically MLB average. And it's actually gone up 0.6 of a run. So basically, we're seeing back in 2015, there was only four runs per game. That was when the shift was a concern. Now, they're beating the shift by hitting it over, and there's more runs. So actually, baseball's having as many runs as possible. So shift isn't an issue in terms of runs. Here's where the issue is. The issue is what they're doing with that, and that is the strikeout. Because they're not swinging at the ball, and strikeout is not an issue anymore. They're swinging upwards in the air. Strikeout's not a concern. A ground ball is a concern. Ground balls could turn into double plays. Ground balls are a disaster. You want to hit the ball, and of course, because of the defensive alignments, ground balls will probably be out. Strikeouts are way up. Strikeouts are at an all-time high. Last year was 2019 was an all-time high. 2020, they actually went down a little bit, but it's gone up every single year for a very, very long time. And actually, walks, you would assume that the batters, that the pitchers have much more control. You know, the game is always evolving and people are always getting better. You'd assume that they have control. But walks have gone up 17% in the last 5 years, or a half of a walk per game. So what that tells you is that the batters are just getting up there and looking for a pitch to hit. And you'll see these at-bats. Again, I'm not trying to pick on him, but you see these at-bats, let's say, by Luke Voit or, let's say, Aaron Hicks, where they don't even swing the bat in the full at-bat. They just go up there, they look for a pitch to hit, and they don't even swing. Now, I don't know about you, but if there was somebody who is not into baseball so much, this is not very enticing, and this is not going to make them be a fan of the sport, that doesn't mean that Luke Voit or Aaron Hicks aren't great at the sport, or even Aaron Judge are not great at the sport. They're doing the right thing to do. This is the right way to win, the way the game is established with the defensive alignments. The right way to win is to either take a walk, take a strikeout, or look for the home run. Don't be swinging at a ball that you can't hit well and make an out anyways. Batting averages, across baseball, batting averages were .345. Again, like I said, I'm not a major batting average guy. I don't really care much as long as the guys are getting on base. But this is not very interesting when there's not a lot of balls in play. Batting average .345 is obviously one of the lowest. Only in the late 60s was lower than this. Hit by pitch. So hit by these are some interesting stats over here. Hit by pitch was at an all-time high. And you would wonder why hit by pitch is at an all-time high. And I will tell you the answer is like this, is that the pitchers are pitching inside. The pitchers know that there's a defensive alignment up having the batter to pull. So they have to put the ball inside. If you put the ball outside, most batters, these are professional major league batters, they can hit the ball the other way if you constantly are pitching them outside. So batters are getting hit at an all-time high, which you would assume doesn't make sense. In a later podcast, maybe I'm going to tell you how I would think to fix this, because batters getting hit by balls are not good for the safety of the game, and it's not good for baseball when they lose their stars. Right? When we lost Aaron Judge, that wasn't a good thing for baseball. Interestingly enough, guess what else is at? Guess what's an all-time low? Here we have a couple of all-time lows. We have ground into double plays are all-time lows. Well, that would make sense, because the batters are hitting the ball in the air. Also, we have sac flies are at an all-time low. Sac flies are at an all-time low. That would also make sense because there's less runners on base. Less runners on base going station to station. Actually, I would take that back. I'm not 100% sure why the sac flies are the lowest. And this is actually an interesting one. The analytics people will love this. I don't care either which way. Sac bunts. There's 0.07 sac bunts per game. So if you went to a game, your chances of seeing a sac bunt, are 15% if you add both teams. So that's actually like the lowest by a lot. No one's giving away outs anymore. I actually enjoyed that one. But here's the biggest one, which is at an all-time high, which is pitches per at-bat. Pitches per plate appearance is almost reaching four. It's 3.97 now, which is the all-time high. And again, the reason for this is because the batters are just trying to put the ball in the air. So when it boils down to, and it breaks down to what is happening, what's happening is that the defensive alignments are killing the game because it's making the game take longer. When there's most pitches per plate appearance, the higher amounts of pitches per plate appearances, that is what's lengthening the game, and that's what's making the game boring. If you're a fan of baseball and you want baseball to be interesting, and you want baseball to grow, and you want to care about it, you don't want all the kids just watching the stupid sport of basketball. This is what you got to do to try to lower the plate apparent the pitches, which is you need to ban the shift or ban the defense or make restrictive defensive alignments, and therefore the batters are going to adapt by that by putting the ball in play more. Now, obviously, with all this, you're going to have to deaden the baseball, because if you keep on using this golf ball that they've been using and you're going to have the home runs, which are up about 40% in the last 10 years, if you have those golf balls, then they're still going to hit the home runs. It doesn't matter that you kill the shift. The runs will go up exponentially, and the home runs will just stay the same. They're not going to change their approach. After all, the best way to score is through the home run. By deadening the baseball, baseball's going to have to deaden the baseball, so only the real home run hitters will hit home runs, and the home runs will go back to the league average. Right now, the home runs were about 1.3, 1.4 home runs per game. You want to bring that down to about one home run per game, which is about the league average, which is the way it was pre-steroids and the way it was post-steroids. And even during steroids, it was only 1.1. It was not even this high during the major steroids era. Other stuff that baseball needs to do, which is very important, is they have to have the auto K zone. They have to have the auto K zone. If you want good balls in play and you want the batters to know what they're doing, they have to have an electronic strike zone. Even if the strike zone isn't perfect, even if it's 99% right, it has to be better than whatever the umps are doing right now. It has to be better. And, you know, especially with our guy Aaron Judge, you know, you want to see the game get better by having more perfection. Also, to make the game quicker. Oh, here's the main thing also with banning the shift and with my other one. Don't punish the consumer. Don't punish me. If, let's say, the fielder goes into the wrong position. So banning the shift would be two on the left side of first base and two on the right side of second base. What happens if, let's say, there's three? What do you do? So some people say it's a walk. Some people would say it's a balk. Some people would say it's an automatic ball. No, don't punish the consumer. Don't make me have to watch out and have to learn a new rule. The rule is like this. If before the pitch, the umpire sees that somebody's over on the other side, he calls timeout. He calls timeout and he tells the guy to move over. That's it. That's the beginning and the end of how you police this. Don't ruin me and tell me that you're going to call it a ball and ruin my way of watching. Now, after the game, if you want, you can find the guy, because otherwise people are going to be doing this a lot. And again, You can always just call timeout and tell them to go over and tell them to move over. So again, that's the way you would police the shift. Another one, the pitch clock, 20 seconds. I'm a fan of this, but again, this has to be something where it's policed by 20 seconds, and if he goes over it, then he gets a fine for it after the game. Don't say that if he doesn't go 20 seconds, then he doesn't go 20 seconds, then it's a ball. And therefore, it's like another thing. Like when you watch the NFL football game, when you watch NFL, you're watching the play clock. You see the quarterback behind center, and you're watching 3, 2, 1. Did he get the hike off? Did he not get the hike off? What's the story? Did he get it off? Are they going to whistle the play dead? If a pitcher pitches past 20 seconds, we're not whistling the play dead. We're not doing anything. After the game, he's just going to get a fine. Don't punish me, the consumer. Don't change my way of watching things. But put the 20-second clock up there, and if the pitcher doesn't get there, he'll get a fine. Trust me, the pitcher will not go over 20 seconds eventually if the fine is big enough. And then eventually, after, let's say, 5 years or so, lower the pitch clock to 18 seconds. But the point is that don't punish me, the consumer, but do put these pitch clocks up there and have them do it. Here's a rule that I actually thought of myself, which would speed up the game, which is, let's say you have a runner who's a very slow runner, and you know he's not stealing a base. Now, a lot of times the pitcher will throw over anyways. Here's the rule. The rule is that if the runner stands on the actual base and the pitcher throws the ball over while the runner is standing on the base, then that would be a balk. So that would eliminate the throwing over or the wasting time when you have the runner on first base. So let's say, you know, a pitcher is trying to trying to take time because the next pitcher is trying to come in. All you have to do if you're a runner, you stand on the base. If he throws over, that's a balk. I think this is an interesting idea. I'm going to roll through Twitter right now, and I'm going to say a couple of tweets. For the next segment, I'm going to say a couple of tweets, and then I'm going to end it. So first we have the going around Twitter now. This is amazing. We have the fake New York Post by my friend Joe. He put this up. It's outstanding. It's sort of like the Babylon Bee or the Onion. It's outstanding. He does an outstanding job of doing fake news, and he puts a quote, and he puts something that riles up fans, and it's real trolling. It's real trolling at its best. There's a picture of Gary Sanchez and A-Rod talking. They're not wearing masks. And here's the fake New York Post headline. In a bid to assimilate with the American culture, Gary Sanchez goes maskless in Florida while seeking marriage counseling. Now, this is outstanding trolling because, yes, we know that Florida, they're so pro, they're anti-masking. So that's great. And Gary Sanchez, we know, is always constantly trying to show us that he can be so American and he can do whatever it is. And he's doing so good. And, you know, and the boomers all hate Gary because, you know, he doesn't speak English or whatever it may be, or he's fat. And he's always trying to assimilate and try to help himself out. And then, of course, with the marriage counseling and seeing A-Rod is absolutely amazing because we know that A-Rod cannot get marriage counseling. A-Rod has cheated on anything he's ever loved before. He's a disaster, A-Rod, when it comes to giving counseling on anything. Then we have at Earl NYY, Earl. Earl says that SNY is so much better than Yes. Yeah, I agree with Earl. Yes is not really that great. I'm not a tremendous fan. Michael Kay is very good. I'm not a major fan of, you know, the Yes can do a lot better. Yankees have the biggest history in baseball. They could do a lot better with that. And the last one is Darius Glover quotes Bob Clappish that Corey Seager will be the Yankees target in the offseason. And he finishes off, which is why Hal didn't want to fire all his bullets. My problem I have with this is like this. There's two things to this. There's one, Corey Seager is the Yankees target. Yeah, that's amazing. Corey Seager is a perfect, perfect blend. He's a lefty. He's a middle infielder. Looks like Torres is getting a little bit slow and complacent. It's possible that Torres can end up being a great third baseman or even a second baseman who doesn't need all that much range. Torres is a young kid. He's a great hitter, and he can move over. Seager's a little bit more lean. Seager can play short, and he's a lefty, which the Yankees really need badly. The other one is which is why Hal didn't want to fire all his bullets. And then they said this, and then another report I read, which is why Hal didn't go over the cap. This really, really bothers me, and this is very, very annoying. There is not one blue check mark on Yankee Twitter, not one who will hold Brian Cashman responsible or Hal Steinbrenner responsible. Not one. Every single one of them carry his water, and they hold him and they fondle them, and they love them like it's not normal. Can we say it for what it is? Hal didn't go over 210 because Hal didn't want to go over 210. He didn't want to spend the tax. Hal didn't go over 210 in 2019, and that had nothing to do with anything. 2018. He didn't go over in 2018. You know who he signed in 2018? His biggest signing after that season was J.A. Happ. The guy is such a Bob Clappish is just spinning over the next news. Yeah, it's okay. The Yankees lowered their luxury. They lowered their salary by $50 million. But that's okay because next year we'll get Corey Seager. In 2018, when they dropped below the luxury cap and they didn't sign Manny Machado or Bryce Harper and their biggest signing was J.A. Happ, how did you feel then? This is not true. This is Hal just trying to send a message to the fans. Don't worry about the fact that I didn't spend this year because I'll spend next year. Yankees don't have a window to be open to spend and not spend. Now, I'm okay with Hal saying, you know what? I think with $210 million, I could build a team that could win. I'm okay if he says that. But don't send out there some stupid bogus that you're saving your bullets for Corey Seager and that's why you didn't sign. Next year, you're going to have Judge who's going to be an almost a free agent. You're going to have Chad Green almost a free agent. You're not gonna spend any more money. And even if you do, it's nothing to do with anything. Please, somebody hold one of these blue check marks responsible.